leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind.
Alright, hello and welcome to I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a podcast within a podcast about me trying to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation, 1997 sequel to the original Mortal Kombat, every day for a year. I'm Chris. I'm your host. I am here with my friend Ben.
Hello.
Ben, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How are you feeling after us having just watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Oh, I am a changed person.
Okay. Let's see. So... it's okay if there's huge pauses in there, because I can just cut it all out.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's like how severe like of an impact that movie had on us. We're just floored.
So, Ben, do you have anything that you want to promote while you're here that I should tell people about, that you want to tell people about?
Oh, like personally?
Yeah, man. You've got, I mean, you're in a band.
I am in a band called Foxglove on Bandcamp.
I'll put the notes. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, that's...
You guys are good.
We're getting there. it's starting to come together.
What are you guys doing right now? Where are you at right now?
We're on a hiatus.
Oh. Uh-oh.
No, well, because our lead singer / guitarist is about to go to India for a few
months.
That's right. So I guess we have maybe a week until our hiatus.
Okay, so you could get some, ignite your light and spread it to the world
right
in the week.
We could cram in like a really intense like 7-day tour.
So people can just look for it, Foxglove. I mean, I'm going to put it in there anyway, but just Foxglove.
There's
on.
Like, if you Google Foxglove, there's like a lot of medieval folk sounding bands, which I highly recommend. Like,
just but you guys don't sound like
familiarizing
that.
Yourself with the entire repertoire of Foxglove. but eventually you'll find a band that sounds kind of like alternative rock, Weezer, kind of, you know.
Yeah. You guys are good.
Yeah.
I've only seen you a couple times, but, I mean, that's not because you're not what's the word I'm looking for? Sleepy?
Right. Yeah, we're not. We're not medieval. We're the only Foxglove band that's not playing medieval folk music.
Well, that should be on y'all's business cards. We're the only Foxglove that's not medieval folk music.
Yeah, it's... you can dance if you want to. You know, it's like that's all the Foxglove bands.
So, so that's all I'm going to be able to think about now. I'm going to make safety dance like the intro music for this episode now. What were your kind of initial thoughts on the movie? Had you seen Mortal Kombat Annihilation before?
I hadn't seen any Mortal Kombat. I played the video game.
Yeah, I was going to, like, what's your background with Mortal Kombat? I know Sam, Zero.
Like, my background with Mortal Kombat was, like, I guess, man, I must have been, like, fourth grade, and my friend said, hey, Ben, like, there's this awesome video game where you rip people's heads out. And we were, like, we were hooked.
Yeah.
That was clearly awesome.
What did you play it on?
Was it probably on a Genesis? I guess that's... yeah, because, well, the arcade game was always much better.
Yeah.
And then it came out for the consoles.
Yeah. It was still such a big deal that it came out for the consoles that it's like everybody, even though it didn't look as good, everybody still had to have it.
Yeah. What was, I've always wondered like what the arcade game must have been. Like, why was it so much better?
Well, I mean, it's just because, I mean, at that point, the, you know,
graphics were.
Yeah. The stuff, and you could get on an arcade machine, like on a cabinet, was a higher processor, whatever. You know, you could get better.
More blood.
Yeah,
more
exactly.
Blood flying everywhere.
Well, and I didn't have a Genesis. I had a Super Nintendo. So, and the Super Nintendo version didn't have blood.
Oh, because some, depending on the console, it was like censored.
The Genesis version had blood, but the Nintendo version, it was sweat. Even when you'd like rip somebody's head out, you know, head off or something. Or maybe it was just, it was like you get more blood on the Genesis version. Because Mortal Kombat, I just remember it was like, in retrospect, it's hilarious how... the violence in that game. Like, people were so upset over it, but the violence is like so over the top and cartoony that it's like you would hit someone and blood would just spray everywhere.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, like nowadays I'm kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, like violence. But like when you're like a little boy, you're like, I want everything to be extremely violent.
I need more of this violence. Well, it's like even for me, I got it on Super Nintendo and, but I wanted that more. I wanted the blood. So my mom got me a Game Genie for my birthday or for Christmas, one of the two, which, and with the Game Genie, you know, you'd put the cartridge into the Game Genie, then put that in the system and then put in the code. And then that would make the Super Nintendo version bloodier.
Really?
Yeah. That was like the whole reason I got that Game Genie, was just to make Mortal Kombat bloodier. I mean, I used it on other stuff, but then that was like the only reason I asked for it.
That is a Game Genie.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
I'm a computer programmer now, and I'm like, how did the Game Genie even do that?
I assume that it was some kind of like palette swap where it just, because when they swapped the sweat, they just turned like the blood into sweat. I assume maybe it just told it to
take these colors.
Yeah, to switch these colors, maybe.
That's some smart Game Genie.
I guess so. Or I would assume that they probably had it programmed in there to begin with, and then like put something in that changed it
to Game Genie,
and the Game Genie just works around it.
Just hack through that.
Yeah,
hack back to the blood. That's what real hacking is.
It was nice. It was fun too. Watching your, I could see it in your face. You were trying to think out, how would it do that? How did that work? And because, you know, like when we were kids, it's like stuff like that. You just take it for granted. Like, oh, this is computer stuff. It works. This just does whatever.
But there's like probably like a whole factory of like dudes sitting there being like working on Mortal Kombat, trying to be like, how are we going to reverse engineer this sweat?
Well, and the thing that was always crazy to me about those Game Genies was, it's like when you'd get a Game Genie, it would come with a book, like a fairly thick book full of codes for so many games. And I was like, how can this one thing know how to do all this stuff to all these different games? You know what I mean? Like, I still don't know.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's like now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah, they would have had to really spend some time trying to figure out all those games.
Well, yeah, and it's just like, were there really this many like exploitable code things in all of these games?
It seems really unlikely.
But I mean, that stuff's in there. Well, and it's like some of those games, like if you ever watched, what was that movie? What is the name of that movie about the two guys who are fighting for like the Donkey Kong world record? King of Kong is what it's called. It's a documentary.
I've never seen that.
Oh man, it's so great. It's awesome. It's like, it's so crazy that it's real life, because it's like you couldn't write a better story. It's just so awesome. It's one of my favorite documentaries. But there's stuff in there where they're talking about how there used to be like all these cheats and stuff in old arcade games. And it's like, how on earth did people find some of these
like
things?
Yeah, like Contra was like up, down.
Yeah, but
up,
I mean, Contra even was on a console. This is like even before that. Oh, also there's this, I found, it's fine. Cut that all. there's this clip I saw of this video that's like the American it's from somewhere in the 80s, and it's like the American National Video Game League, and it's like these guys that are supposed to be like super jocks but at playing video games, and it's a real thing where they teach you tricks and tips and codes to beat popular video games. And like one of them is they show you the Konami code, which is for Contra, which is up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, okay, they show, there's a part that's like that one. This will give you 30 men in Contra. And then they're like, to get the level select in Ikari Warriors, do this. And you think it's going to be another one of those like up, up, down, you know, something you can go, okay, I get that.
Right.
But it's like, do this, up, B, A. Up, down, left, left, B, A, select, B, A, up, down, left, right, B, A, B, A. Like, it goes on for, like, it goes on.
Turn around in a circle.
Yeah. I mean, it seriously, and it goes on for so long that you're like, this is a joke, right? And then it stops being funny, and then it keeps going for so long that it becomes funny again. Like, it's just amazing. But you think about that stuff that used to be in old video games, and it's like, one, okay, How on earth did you guys figure that out?
This is how the NSA has access to all our Facebook pages. They have the contra codes.
Yeah. All right, Ben. So I'm going to ask you these questions now. And no pressure. It's not a test.
Okay.
I think Sam was a little bit under the impression that she was failing. But it's not a test. So question number one. As best as you can, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, the plot. Well, Raiden... Well, Raiden is sort of like this really calm, peaceful guy from a really powerful family, and his, I guess his arch nemesis is doing something bad with the world. He's destroying humanity.
Fair, yeah, yeah. Accurate.
And the worlds are colliding. Right. Like he's created this portal between the worlds.
Would you say it's a portal between the realms?
It's a portal between the realms. It's all coming back now.
Yeah.
And then they fight, you know? They fight to stop that from happening. And there's a family reunion at the end.
Yeah. Pretty good. That's basically, yeah.
I guess that's it.
Yeah, that works. it's also, it's going to be great. I can't wait for you guys to hear each other's plot explanation for this movie. All right, question number two. How many characters from this movie can you name? Now, you've got a little bit of an advantage here since you are familiar with some of these characters from the games beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, so...
Let's see what you remember.
And it's been a long time since we just watched the movie, so now I've even forgotten that.
It's easily been like 20 minutes.
There's Raiden, who was my personal favorite character. You know, I always liked how easy it was to kill everybody with Raiden.
Yeah, well, and it's also, it was interesting to me when we were watching the movie that you immediately, like, Raiden was clearly the character whose sort of overarching story and such was what you were drawn to.
Well, I was really surprised because I thought he was like a bad guy, like, and I thought they were all bad guys.
Okay,
you know? I didn't.
No one really seems to be a good guy in the game.
Yeah, everybody looks pretty sinister. So what? There's, you know, Sub-Zero and Scorpio, Scorpion, right?
Yeah, Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Did you notice how Scorpion and Sub-Zero are in that one scene and then never show up again?
Like at the very beginning?
Yeah, they have that fight when Scorpion steals Katana and Sub-Zero helps them. And then they never show up again.
Scorpion's in there later, isn't he?
Nope. There's other guys that are like the palette swapped versions of Scorpion.
Have the like little Scorpion things coming out of him? I thought there was like another scene where like he's in there at the end.
That's it.
But... who else? Jax.
Yeah.
I don't really know their names. I don't know the names of the other people.
Who's the bad guy?
I forgot.
Okay. Who's the blonde lady?
I don't know.
Okay. Who's the main guy?
The main guy is, God, this is embarrassing.
Well, it's interesting, because clearly Raiden was the main guy to you.
Right.
His story was sort of the through line that you followed more than...
Yeah, if Raiden wasn't talking, I was pretty much like, what is going on?
Liu Kang is who I was looking
for. Liu Kang.
Number three, did you like this movie?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I liked it.
You had a good time?
Yeah, it was awesome. I thought so.
What was the stuff you what were the highlights for you?
Oh, the effects, like the the effects are fantastic.
I can't help but think you're saying some of this ironically.
No, I'm saying it like really sincerely. I thought they did a really good job of making it seem like vintage arcade video game.
Even though when they were making this, that was certainly not the intention.
I mean, like, what they were probably, they wanted this to be like so above and beyond, or like, I mean, it's kind of like watching Power Rangers. It's like Power Rangers.
I think there are parts of this that are sub Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true. But yeah, just the incredible graphics. I'm trying to think of like video editing software that must have been used for this.
I think that there's a, so I don't know if you guys remember, there was a part at the beginning or where Raiden says something and Sonya, who's the blonde lady, Sonya Blade, her response is, "What's that supposed to mean?" And I love the way she says that, because you could almost cut back to her saying that after every line of dialogue. And I would love to get some, I would really love to or just do like a super cut of this where someone says something and it just cuts to her saying that over and over. Because it's so perfect. Like there's so many lines of ridiculous dialogue in this where it would be perfectly understandable if then it cut to her saying, "What's that supposed to mean?" All the mergers and realms and, you know, portals and elder gods talk. And there's just so many places where you could cut to her saying, "What's that supposed to mean?"
Yeah, I mean, you could use that just for everyday life. Like, yeah. Just have it on your phone and just, like, hold it up to people when they...
Whenever. They say something and I just show that little clip. "What's that supposed to mean?" The thing that I'm really scared of is I'm afraid that this, you know, at the end of this, so much of my brain will be just replaced by parts of this movie that I'm going to be making references to this movie now for the rest of my life that no one else
is going to understand. Yeah.
And it will just seem totally like, why don't you know that?
You'll say, "What's that supposed to mean?" with this like specific.
Well, and someone will just explain it. I'm like, "No, that's from Mortal
like,
Kombat.
Guys,
it's from Mortal Kombat Annihilation." This is what I'll be saying in the you know, the institution that they
have
me.
Yeah, you're really embarking down the wormhole on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I fully expect there'd be a point where I just hit rock bottom with like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm so sick of this movie. But we're not there yet, thankfully. And hopefully, you know, I will persevere through that. If it beats me, if the movie beats me, if I can't do it for the whole year, then the movie wins. And I don't want that to happen.
You're a very brave man.
Thank you.
Godspeed.
Thank you. Is that so hard, people? Quit telling me to stop doing this. Tell me I'm brave. Tell me how brave I am for doing this incredibly stupid thing. All right. Question number 4. Should people watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
It has received my endorsement. Mandatory watching.
How many stars would you give it?
Oh, all of them.
All whatever the scale is. All right.
It gets all the stars.
All right. And finally, question number 5. Should I keep doing this?
I mean, I think it's a really admirable and noble quest you're on. And as like... a small little stepping stone in your, you know, endeavor here. Like, I've thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Awesome.
So I feel like you're bringing something really good to the masses.
Well, thank you. Man, all right, you're going on the list of people who, what the opposite of my hit list. Like, people who are supportive list. Because before it was just one person. But now you're on it, so I appreciate that. Do you have any questions for me as a person who has seen this now way, way too many times?
How many times?
I'm not sure at this point.
Okay, too many to just.
Yeah,
it's
I've
a
lost
blur.
Track.
It's a blur.
Also, this drink that you made me was much stronger than I realized, and it's really snuck up on me.
You're really turned up now.
yeah, I'm a little too turned up now.
I mean, like if I was watching this over and over and over again, I'd want to be able to sort of like extract some like grain of wisdom from it.
Yeah, I mean that's, you know, and I've tried to explain this previously. It's like there are things in this movie. The first time you watch it, you know, or the first couple times I watched it, you're just going like, "Ugh, this is bad" or whatever. But now I've seen it so many times now that I see things and I'm going, God, I would really love to know why on earth they decided to do this particular thing. Or like, why this choice? Why this? Why that? And I'm hoping that by the end of this, you know, through research, from talking to other people, I hope that I will gain some kind of level of wisdom as far as like how these things happen. You know, it's... you ever listen to that podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's like they watch bad... It's like three comedians and they watch bad movies. and it's one of my favorites, but they watch bad movies, and which it's hilarious because there's like so many of the movies they watch I have already seen so many times, and it's like they'll be asking questions about the movie where I'm like, oh, you idiots, it's because of this. And then I'm like, I should watch better movies. But yeah, you know, they try to like put together in a comedic way. They're more worried with just being funny, but it's like, you know, they do try to piece out like, what, why would this happen? Who led them to this? Or, you know, like what led to this decision? Like, how did this happen? So I am hoping to kind of, by the end of this, I'm hoping that I will know some of the answers to those kinds of things. And I will say, though, that, like, you know, watching this, I have, the more I've watched it, there have been places where I've gone like, man, I really have an appreciation for how hard it must be to make a movie, because that I didn't have just in the first couple times watched it.
Yeah,
there's stuff that you put together and you're just going like, okay, I can see how this would be really hard to film. And it's like, it's going to look like garbage no matter what, you know, unless you have a ton of money, which this movie clearly didn't.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what they were able to pull off for their very clearly limited budget.
But the thing that like boggles my mind, though, is that like the first movie looks so much better, and the first movie had about like half as much money for the budget.
Really?
The first one looks way more like a movie, and this looks like an episode of Power Rangers.
Yeah, maybe they just sort of like jumped the shark at this point, you know, so it's
I don't know, but I'm hoping eventually I'll find
this
out.
This was their sellout move. You know, the real art happened already, and now we're thinking of a band.
I love the idea of thinking of that first Mortal Kombat movie as the art. The art has already happened. We made our statement piece. Now we're making this cash in.
Now we're just doing lots of cocaine trying to power through this.
Well, do you have any other questions or anything else you'd like to say about this movie?
I mean, I was making lots of connections to like other stories, Lord of the Rings and
yes, I do remember
Star Wars.
Do you remember you making a couple?
I think it's, you know, there's a lot of parallels. It's a really exciting time to be seeing
all these parallels.
Yeah, all these things coming together.
Have you seen Batman versus Superman yet?
I have not.
Cuz I'm going to do an episode at some point. I'm not going to do it tonight, but at some point I'm going to do somebody that follows me on Twitter, after we did the first episodes about Batman versus Superman, and then I started doing this, there was this guy, his name's Michael, I think, who started tweeting at me all the weird similarities between Mortal Kombat Annihilation and Batman versus Superman. And I was just like, this is insane how like these weird similarities. And he's written me an email now that like really goes into all of his ideas. And I'm really looking forward to getting into that on a different episode. Not going to do it tonight, but listeners, that'll be something you can look forward to as well. Yeah. You got anything else?
I think that's good.
Okay. Well, Ben, I hope that this was a fun experience for you.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
I hope that you had a good time with both the movie and with talking to me about it. Thank you, obviously, for doing it. Thank you for being so supportive, having such a better attitude about this than some people I know. And thank you so much. Guys, subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. Thank you so much to the people who have already left reviews. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Follow me at the Chris Haley. Ben, do you have anything you want people to follow besides go find Foxglove that's not the medieval folk music?
Just follow your heart.
Oh, that's perfect. That sounds just like something Raiden would say. I'm really seeing where this connection comes. Yeah, I can't wait for Sam to hear this, to hear your answers to some of these. I think you guys are really going to learn a lot about each other from this. This is important. This is like doing this podcast session with you guys was like my preemptive wedding gift to you guys. It's really going to help you. This is like before the newlywed game. This is really helping you understand each other better. Go into this marriage with a lot clearer vision of each other. So, follow all the things. Leave all the reviews. Do the things. I don't know what else, guys. Just like Ben said, follow your hearts and remember... Be there for one another. You're a family now. Yeah, that was great.